541 to Guru 1. Disciple 1 to Guru 1.
That's right, it is hip, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, Mike, what do you think of the rave reviews my show's getting?
Your show, Bob?
Well, when's your show on?
My show's on Thursday mornings.
Well, mine's on Wednesday at midnight.
Every other Wednesday at midnight, Bob.
Yeah, the Church of the Subgenius.
With Mike Dyer.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs. Mike, some more rave reviews?
Yeah, sure, Bob.
Really provides me a meaning for my existence.
Exhilarating. I really get off on this sort of stuff, Bob. Wow, this is real radio.
Yes.
The continuity will take care of these problems.
That's right. There's no way that my work is going to be stopped.
The thing is, I'm the greatest artist alive today.
Why use the word box? Well, football's not a word. Why use the word box? Well, football's not a word. Only when you use your mouth does it sound like a word. The verbal medium, spoken language. There are many other languages. Many other environments within which you can go natural characteristics. Direct express the office for English. Direct express the office for English. Is that the language we're involved in right now?
Saturday, August 25th, their first travel edition since the 22nd of August. Very interesting article under the title of Horrors of My Lai Linger in Vietnam. This comes from the travel section. And they report from My Lai saying, the stench of death no longer hangs over My Lai, but the ghosts linger, and they ask, why? They're the ghosts of more than 400 Vietnamese women, children, and old men slain by U.S. soldiers in a bloody orgy one night 22 years ago. And continuing further later on in the article, it says, you're back in the dawn hours of March 16, 1968. On that morning, this corner of nowhere became the target of Operation Pinkville, conducted by U.S. Army Captain Ernest Medina, the platoon from Charlie Company, which swept into the village known on U.S. Army camps as My Lai 4, and that was led by Lieutenant William Calley. Yeah, amazing. Ides of March, Operation Pinkville.
La 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 la. Non-being is a mirror, the world an image, and man is the eye of the image, in which the person is hidden. Thou art the eye of the image, and he the light of the eye. Who has ever seen the eye through which all things are seen? The world has become a man, and man a world. There is no clearer explanation than this. When you look well into the root of the matter, he is at once seen, seeing eye, and thing seen. The holy tradition has declared this, and without eye or ear, demonstrated it. Aqua, Fazibus, Bob, call.
It's getting to be like an endless tape loop. That number 22 just keeps coming around again and again. So here it is, September 6th, and the United States government has just announced that in order to beef up Saudi Arabia's defenses, they have agreed to sell fighter bombers and other military equipment worth $2.2 billion, and it'll be on its way in a few days. To the rescue.
As a species, we have been eminently successful. So successful. We are now at a crossroad in our history. A crossroad in time so critical that the choice we make now can determine the survival of humans on planet Earth. Industrial pollution, carried into the atmosphere as gases. Gases caught in the clouds to fall. Clouds do not respect international boundaries. They go where the forces of nature take them. The greenhouse.
Okay, Ken, can you talk? No, okay. So Ken's got to plug it in so you can hear him. You want to try plugging that in? I can't hear you, man. Yeah, just see if we can plug in. Meanwhile, this is the Church of the Subgenius. Kent's sitting in for Mike Dyer. Get some levels on that. Kent's having a problem here with something. No, you set that up. Don't put it on yet, though, Ken. Okay, you ready? You gonna plug it in, or do I talk? Okay, well, we can hear you a little bit. Okay, George left a message. I couldn't play it yet, but I got this up too loud? It's probably because the doors were open, Kent. Kent's gonna try to plug it in so his mic can work. I got a message from George, but I couldn't play it yet. I have to wait till a few more people see the movie Wild at Heart. But the cartoon he referred to from the September 1st, 1990 Toronto Star Saturday, Wizard of Id, he recommended it as somebody introducing three criminals. First one, Bernie Katzman. Inside trading and tax evasion, his take was $2.2 million. Then he introduces Fred Rogers, embezzlement, his take.
No, not Fred.
Oh, okay, don't worry. Fred, his take was $8 million. And the third criminal introduced before the three kings is Stan Bender, con man, $1.5 million. And the, I'm flipping off there, says, we're not on. Okay, so just a second. We'll interrupt the cartoon here while Kent makes an adjustment. What do you need? You don't need to do anything?
Well, no, I'm going to wait for Slug Wound to Walter Bauer.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then I'm going to disconnect you and reconnect myself.
Okay, so you can sit here and talk with me here.
Yeah, I can sit in here and shoot the crap and...
Okay, the in the Wizard of Id cartoon, you have three con men lined up before the three kings, one of them the Wizard of Id, and the introducer or court lackey pulls the winner for which king, which criminal can the king win, one of the three kings win. He says, and first choice goes to the King of Id. And then the King of Id screams, "All right." And then the King of Id gets his choice of which criminal. So he picks Bernie Katzman, the guy whose take was $2.2 million. And then he walks off with Bernie Katzman, and the King of Id is saying, "I just love parolee draft picks." But George thought this was a very significant cartoon, probably the $2.2 million for inside trading and tax evasion. All right.
Yeah, but you know, we can't have Mr. Rogers in there from around. Fred Rogers from...
is that his first name, Fred?
Yeah, from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And, the kids just... Well, that would just blow their minds.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well...
So we can't have Fred
didn't
in there.
See that.
You know?
All right,
We will have to, of course, suppress that little bit of news.
All right, and then the next item we have here is a special treat for Dublin. It's a letter from Greg Evison. Out there in Guelph, Ontario. And he says, "Bob, we've been picking up your show in Guelph lately, enjoying it. I've heard the guy you call Dublin on other talk shows. We read Werner Vinge's Marooned in Real Time, the book Werner Vinge's Marooned in Real Time, and thought it was great." If you remember, Dublin recommended that book at least 6 months ago. Then he just talks about something personal. So, Dublin, someone recognizes you from other talk shows. That's Greg Evison out in Guelph. Then we have the freakout over Brennecke. Richard Brennecke revelations begins among culpables in the United States. Richard Brennecke is exposing George Bush's connections to P2 and the P2 connections to the CIA control of the Red Brigades in the 70s and connections to the shooting of the Pope. Now, I have a list here of the various people who might be interested in these charges. This is the various personalities and their offices' response. A reporter from the Executive Intelligence Review was met with the following responses from members of the, they have apparat, members of the apparat, in quotes, in the United States. Now, when they heard about Brennecke's charges on European TV, Kissinger's office said, they called Kissinger's office, and the wife of Robert McFarlane said, quote, "We've heard nothing about it other than what you freaks have done on it." Asked whether she, the wife of Robert McFarlane, considered Italian President Cossiga to be a freak, she said, quote, "Well, I think I'm going to have to terminate this conversation." That's the response.
Like quality product.
It means
that... Okay. General Haig's office, his response to the EIR checking out Brennecke's charges on European TV. General Haig's office, he goes, I don't know, I guess it ain't General Haig, but it's somebody in the Haig's office goes, "Oh my God, oh my God, I hope nothing on the general comes out on this. I knew that Michael and Dean went there to Italy, but I didn't know it was to cover up a story about the general. Then Michael had his little problems. Oh, my God." That's a direct quote from General Haig's office over Brennecke's charges. And then Irwin Sewell, big guy in the ADL, he says, quote, to the EIR people asking about his response to the Brennecke charges. I just went off. Okay, so he says, "So you weren't in jail yet. You may be next. Well, I'm going to make sure Amira..." That's Lansky Bolin in brackets. "Well, I'm going to make sure Mira knows about this. But say hello to the Martians when they finish beaming you up to Mars." That's Irwin Sewell's response. And then former Director of Central Intelligence, William Colby, his response about the Brennecke's charges. He says, "I think I saw some reference to Brennecke's nonsense," in quotes. "I just basically accept the agency's position that this is nonsense." And now David Whipple, the former director of CIA operations in Europe, who is now executive director of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, echoed the agency, the CIA, in doing damage control to dismiss Brennecke. However, after he denied that the CIA would fund P2 since it had contact with all the principals through other channels, I'll say that again. However, after he denied the CIA would fund P2 since it had contact with all the other principals through other channels, he said, quote, "Now, I'm not saying Henry Kissinger and Al Haig didn't fund them at the National Security Council. I don't know. I don't know what those White House policy boys were up to. Maybe Kissinger funded P2. That's David Whipple, former director of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers. So that's some people's response to the Brennecke charges in late July in Europe, which may have been part of the reason why Bush had to arrange war in the Middle East. Ken's still working on some stuff. Ken, can you come here for a minute? I've got to tell you something. Ken's just walking around here. I want to see what your reaction is, Ken, to this publicly. I found out that there's a chemical called Freon 22.
Yeah.
Some kind of substance. Do you know what it's used in?
Refrigeration. Freon is used in refrigeration.
Air conditioners.
Yeah.
Okay. This person pointed out to a friend of yours that Freon 22 is what's causing the damaged ozone layer. All right? The air conditioning materials are affecting the ozone layer. That's Freon 22. Isn't that amazing? It's Freon 22. Like, who's free on 22? Who's high on 22? So what are you doing? You working on the pipes?
Yeah, I'm doing some sewer cleaning right now.
Okay, so you're still working on it. All right, so...
Okay, which one are you in? You're in 3, so I need 4.
Okay.
Are you up?
No, I'm still on.
You're still on, okay.
I guess just fitting up here. We've got an exciting show tonight. Much information as a result of my meeting in Arizona. I was hanging out with...
Walter Boward,
the author of Operation Mind Control. Came out in 1978, one of the best books of the 70s, and strong enough to be one of the best books in the 80s, if you read it in the 80s. Walter Boward is stationed in the desert region, high in the mountains in Arizona, near New Mexico, and it was quite exciting to be there. And, of course, there were some... let's say, punning overlays as a result of my presence there. See, Walter Boward was once married to a Mellon. Her name is Peggy Mellon Hitchcock. She was the sister of Billy Hitchcock, and if you read Acid Dreams, you know Billy Hitchcock was the main funder and supporter and maybe even distributor of LSD through Tim Leary and the Brotherhood of Love. The Tim Leary Network started off at Millbrook in the middle 60s, and that was the Mellon Estate, Millbrook in New York. I think it was Upper State.
You off?
Yeah, I'm on. That was upstate. I'm on, yeah.
You're on?
Yeah.
Well, this doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense, Charlene.
So that was upstate New York, Kent, Millbrook, in the middle 60s. So Billy Hitchcock was behind that. Well, of course, I went over to see Peggy Mellon Hitchcock, Billy's brother, on Friday, September 7th, and when I showed up at her house, it was she had just got word that Tim Leary's daughter hung herself, and Peggy had been very close to Tim Leary's daughter, so that should tell you something the moment I show up. Such news shows up in the Mellon's sphere of influence. All right. Another thing worth noting is the new magazine Hype has their first issue out, and it's a fine sample of graphics ecology. They cut down on their graphics, pyrotechnics, and keep it to the basics. But it's got some good stuff in there. Got an interview with Bob Dobbs. And Connie has mentioned a lot in there, too. All right, Ken, are you going to give up? Or you don't know how to fix that. Okay, so let's So the point about Walter Boward and me showing up at the Mel Hitchcock house on September 7th is that Walter Boward made the charges in the late 70s that Tim Leary, his former buddy, was used by the CIA in his MKUltra program. And so he had an article on this published in Gallery Magazine in September 1979. And this article was based on a confrontation that Walter had with Tim Leary privately in Tucson earlier in 1979. Well, Walter was kind enough to give me an excerpt of him and Tim Leary arguing over Walter's charges, or at least Walter trying to find out what was Tim Leary conscious of in his role working around Central Intelligence Agency. So we're going to feature that in a minute as soon as Kent gets worked up. It starts off with a radio broadcast taking some authorities, dealing with Tim Leary, saying whatever Tim Leary is trying to say here, and then Tim Leary says it, and then there's some counter arguments about what Tim means, and that was what was broadcast on the radio station back in the late 70s, 1979 or so. But then Walter was kind enough to give us an excerpt, which wasn't played on the radio show, the excerpt of his private debate with Tim Leary, which he used for his article in Gallery Magazine. So, Kent, would you, just before you started, are you ready to play that? Is it going to go on the air? We don't know if it's going to go. Okay. So this is Walter Boward and Tim Leary arguing in 1979.
It seems to me that it was a sort of elitist drug.
Dr. Sidney Cohen, one of the country's foremost authorities on LSD.
Then, of course, the thing broadened enormously when Tim Leary and the Harvard group spoke so glowingly about the drug.
I give the CIA a total credit for sponsoring and initiating the entire consciousness movement, counterculture events of the 1960s.
Dr. Timothy Leary, the 1960s Johnny Appleseed of LSD.
The CIA funded and supported and encouraged hundreds of young psychiatrists to experiment with this drug. The fallout from that was that the young psychologists began taking it themselves, discovering that it was an intelligence-enhancing, consciousness-raising experience.
The countercase that I would make in relationship to that is to remember that the people who were doing the research were people who would be doing the research regardless of who was the sponsor. That it was not the CIA who asked these people who were going to these. These people were working on it, and the CIA helped them to do that particular work.
And you don't know if you were.
Okay, well,
you were certainly.
You were certainly.
I
want you to know, I've known all of this for 10 years.
Well, you've been winning of it.
Of course.
You were?
What?
You were wittingly used by the CIA during the 60s you knew you were being used by the CIA when you were being used by them in the 60s?
Well, when you say CIA, it's like saying niggers.
Oh, no.
The CIA is not
I see what you mean.
I realized I was being used by the intelligence agents of this country.
Well, what were you doing for them? I mean, what the hell were you doing for them? Did they want to turn the kids on? Huh? Is that what they were trying to do?
Well, Walter, you're sliding off into National Enquirer stuff.
No, but I'm asking.
That's a fact. So.
No, that's what I'm asking you. What was their motive? What was their motive with you? What was the CIA's motive to use you?
The CIA recognized, which you probably haven't recognized yet, but I'm a very important national asset. In 1962 or 1963, there was a real struggle for control of minds.
I saw
in 1962.
There was a world struggle.
After Hiroshima, there would never be a big world war.
Uh-huh.
World war with me.
So,
the neurological level,
mm-hmm.
not at the level of
tanks.
Mm-hmm. You didn't see that, Nathan, so I don't want you to react. But can you understand?
I hate to wouldn't, but I didn't know.
Right. Can you understand when I said I saw that then? I have perceived it as an intelligence agent since 1962. And my image is very clear. I understood that the next war for the control of this planet and beyond had to do with the control of consciousness.
Okay, Ken. Ken's still not able to hook up, so it's me and the callers. Ken dropping in on my side when he can. If you're ready to go, 595, what are the numbers? 1-655-1478 or 595-1479. Ken can't talk to me. I don't want to do a monologue. Call in, let's get going, and you'll be on the air. 595-1655. And 595-1478 or 1479. Now, that was just Walter Bowert arguing and trying to pin Tim Leary down in 1979 in the spring about what he meant by saying that he was an agent and worked with and for and of the Central Intelligence Agency. I apologize that the word niggers was used there. It was not meant to be a cast aspersion on anybody. It was just what Tim Leary said. We did not say it. We got a caller here? Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Kirk, yes. Okay, you're on. Okay.
This is Tim Hoff of the Church of the Sacred Elvis.
Tim Hoff?
Yeah.
Well, have you been on 2 weeks ago?
No.
Because there was another Tim, several Tims last week, 3 weeks ago. What church were you?
Church of the Sacred Elvis.
Oh, yeah. Have you dropped literature off to us, say, about 2 years ago?
Sorry?
Did you send literature to the station about a year or two ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting it. Thanks. Okay, have you been listening for all this time, or did you just drop back in?
I just dropped back in.
So what do you have to say?
Well,
Or invite?
I guess recent victory over the anti-Bob forces out there.
Oh, yeah. Just a second. Getting instructions from Kent. We want to decide... That's...
Fourth stage, side one or two?
No, see, that's the church hymn. The other one on the side. Just a second, caller. You see the other tape there off to the left? The black one? That's what you use. All right, the one you're holding is the church
hymn.
Yeah, that's the hymn.
Have you gone through all the tapes already?
What?
Have you gone through all the tapes already?
Yeah. Okay, caller, what'd you say about assassination?
Well, I don't think there's any plan for a reenacted assassination for J.R. Bob Dodd.
You're getting worried. You didn't leave the message on my machine at home about the Bob Ray victory, did you?
No.
Yeah, did you know that I predicted it? Okay, let me qualify that. 3 weeks ago, we did our show, August 22nd, and I put in an imbid during the show. If you go back to the archives, you can hear me saying, communism is much better than Christianity.
Well, I guess socialism is more realistic than some magical being coming down with the exorcists and the... dinosaurs, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. That's accurate. And then we have... that's because the door is... Shut the door, Kent.
I'm getting feedback.
So, caller, so then I was talking to Tom Rich, who's been on the show lately, after August 22nd and before I disappeared from this area for a while. And he noticed... he had noticed through the years that whenever I and Connie go away, there's a... big funny thing that happens either on the huge scale or on the local scale, all right? And I said, I think locally what's going to happen is there'll be a surprising upset in the provincial election. And though that has not been, that was not said by me on the record, you know, on the air.
That's the power of Bob for you.
Yeah, if Tom called in, he could verify that I had predicted something a flip point would happen here locally. So I was ready for it, and the only problem I had with
it worked.
It worked, all right. But the problem was that Bob's backing off. Bob Ray's backing off already. He said that we ain't going to have a revolution here. We're going to be slow. We're going to have some reforms maybe, but no revolution. Don't you think he should say we're going to have a revolution no matter what? We may be slow in doing it. But he shouldn't back off on the word revolution. What do you say?
I don't know.
None say on that, eh?
I'm all for a quiet revolution.
The invisible environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, the effects. Well, those revolutions going on constantly. I guess this is a quiet revolution on this show. I mean, the content is kind of noisy sometimes, but the effects are very quiet and surreptitious. And I think you're calling in now because you're quite impressed with the effect I'm having locally. Eh?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think of the idea of big business and high levels of government using some kind of,
strategy here?
Socio-political mindfuck, right. I.e. religious brainwashing through subliminal persuasion via the media. Now, I think this is probably, would have been true during the Reagan Revolution there in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Walter Borg was the expert on that, the person who was arguing with Tim Leary. He wrote a book, Operation Mind Control, which spelled that out, how it was done with individuals. And
I think that has a lot to do with the founding of the church.
Our church?
Church of the Socinians.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you got Carrie Wendell Thornley in there, right? And Lee Harvey Oswald's buddy, and he claims he was mind-controlled, and they picked Lee Harvey Oswald, not him. Well, he's a key participant in the church, in Church of Subgenius Stang's division, Reverend Ivan Stang in Dallas. And then I think Wendell Thornley founded the Discordians, and Robert Anton Wilson supports that. Yes, the popularity of a subgenius operation out of Dallas is a clever mind control operation for the culture. As a matter of fact, Walter was telling me his children that he had with Peggy Mellon Hitchcock are very interested and very involved in the Church of the Subgenius, sponsored by Dallas and Ivan Stang.
Right.
So you got wealthy people's children are very interested in it. I wonder why. I think your suspicions are justified. That's why we try to provide a real alternative here, you know, about the situation.
Well, it's only theory.
What is?
The conspiracy.
That's right. There is no conspiracy on many levels, but on a few levels, especially around visual space, there is a conspiracy because visual space is the only sense, like your eye, that can be isolated from the interplay of all the other senses. So it'd be natural that the extension of your eye, money and print, the paper world, would be able to be abstracted from the civil war that went on in the 20th century between the other media, which are extensions of the other sensory faculties. The conspiracy is the ability to be above it all, the Olympians.
All right.
So the visual space is conspiring by not participating in the civil war among the other media, or what I call archetypes.
I was reading an article by Stephen Jay Gould in the Natural History recent issue.
Yeah.
And he's saying that the human mind is so fallible, how can we objectively study it, and therefore how can we understand ourselves fully? We can't.
That's true. The thing is, he's telling us something about our mind. Now, if you look in the new issue of the Journal of Wild Culture, they have an interview with William Irwin Thompson, conducted by Tim Wilson of CBC, and the title is Mind Jazz. You see, William Irwin Thompson knows that the conceptual point of view or the concept that comes out from the mind, that effect from that point, from that faculty, the mind, he knows that that's obsolete, so he does jazz with it. It's called Mind Jazz. The limitation of William Irwin Thompson's work is that it's simply mind or concept jazz, whereas here on CKLN and our show, we do percept and concept jazz. We do both. You see? So Stephen Gould is talking about a problem that has disappeared a long time ago. It began with Kant, you know, K-A-N-T, he discovered inner space, and then beyond Kant in the 20th century, coming out of Joyce and Finnegan's Wake, you have process pattern recognition, which is working with both concepts and percepts.
Yeah. So basic, just the article was trust nothing that cannot be proven, though.
Well, what's the meaning?
How can we trust the conspiracy, obviously?
Yeah, well, the conspiracy only controls certain levels of you. There's other parts of your sensory life that are free to carry on. They are controlling the pace of your ears and smell and touch and kinesthetic and proprioceptive lives are controlled by the pace of electric technologies. Though if you understand that, you can free yourself. You can understand the visual conspiracy all you want about
well,
things.
Bob Marley says, free yourself from mental slavery.
That's right. But you can understand the visual conspiracy all you want, but you can't get around it. You got to still pay the rent no matter where you are. Right? So that's the limiting conspiracy. The change in controlling of your sensory patterns by bottom-up electric effects, if you understand them, you can remain impervious to them. That's what's interesting. It's the larger part of your life is that you can engage most of your sensual faculties in a free zone.
Did you receive my artwork and letters?
What's letters?
Oh, I wrote some literature along with the artwork.
And did I receive it?
Yeah.
When?
Oh, I sent it a couple weeks ago.
No, I haven't got any mail. I've been away for 3 weeks and nothing in my file folder, so I guess it'll be coming. Is something
right.
For us?
For the Church of the Septenians.
Can I share it on the air when we get it?
If you think it's important enough.
Okay. I don't know, did we pursue, so what, you're tonight emphasizing the bottom-up level, that we're not too controlled by the top-down.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
you don't want to emphasize the conspiracy. Well, I hope I can have a refine it for you. I'm just talking, when you talk top-down, that's the visual space conspiracy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Would you admit you're controlled by that?
Well, I guess what we see is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
The rest of it is what we don't see, but that's the important part.
Can you hear that music?
Yeah.
You like it?
Sure. What is it?
Telly Savalas.
It's Telly Savalas. So you don't mind having that behind you as while we talk?
I don't care.
Okay, well, just speak a little louder then.
Okay. Anyway, I have my own personal conspiracy theory.
And what's that?
I theorize a conspiracy involving high levels of government and big business to wipe out all kinds of left-wing political subversion through some sort of socio-political mindfuck,
well,
i.e. religious brainwashing through subliminal persuasion via the media.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're... I would support that statement 100%. One thing you were saying there about... Oh, what do you think then of Bob Ray's victory? Is that fitting into that conspiracy?
I don't know. I think that's just the power of Bob.
Yeah, that's true. But how about this? Let's assume that Bob didn't work completely effectively there.
Well, it's a contingency, I guess.
But how about they put Bob Ray in to have an alibi? The companies in Canada, now we have the free trade in North American economic community, they have an alibi to go to Mexico. They can blame Bob Ray. So maybe there was some computer trickery done to put him in, and now it'll be an alibi for the big companies to use him as a scapegoat and say we got to get out of here as long as Bob Ray is in Ontario.
So when are you going to be on the Council of Ten?
Well, you know, I'm on it, and
right.
I controlled it since March 88. And you see, I operate from the solar government, but most of the world government situation is pretty paltry, and as you see it through Bush and Gorbachev, they can't affect much change any, along the lines they want. But there's incredible revolutions happening on the solar government level, and that's what I try to report on.
Praise Bob.
Thanks.
See ya.
Okay, bye. Okay, can we get any more callers? Okay, 595-1655. Ken can't participate. I need that dialogue. We make through talk. Let's hope you can call in and join in. 595-1655 or 1478. Or 1479. Okay, Ken.
So far, nobody's gone.
Okay, can you? We can hear you. What? You got anything to say?
Me?
Yeah.
No, can't.
Nothing.
Yeah, I can't
Well, I wonder if Sean's back. You know, Sean, a regular caller all through till July. He went away to camp, I think. Or maybe if Sean's back, he could call in and stimulate some talk. I'll just check my files here, okay?
You know, as I approach the prime of my life, I find I have the time of my life. Learning to enjoy at my leisure all the simple pleasures, and so I happily concede. This is all I ask. This is all I need. Hey, beautiful girl, will you walk a little slower?
Okay, caller. Caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is anybody talking?
Yes, hello.
Yes, you're on.
Oh, I'm on the air.
Yeah.
Hello. My name is Latex.
Latex.
Are you there?
Yeah, speaking.
Hello.
You can't hear, Kent.
Oh, God.
Okay, tell him to turn his radio at...
You gotta turn your radio.
This is not like any other radio talk show. You have to turn up your radio.
I have to turn up my radio?
Yes, so you can hear us.
Oh, is that so? Because I will not be able to hear you?
That's...
Over the receiver?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, I got to run upstairs then.
Okay.
I have to run upstairs.
Okay, did you want to call back then?
Well, I can do it really fast.
Ken, let me come over and talk to him. No, it's all right. Just
don't... Oh, wait, hang on a second. Bob's coming over here.
Oh, okay. Bob himself?
Yeah, the mighty Bob in person is coming over here to actually play with something electrical. Yes, it's...
Yeah.
Okay, caller.
Yes.
Okay, what's happened?
Oh, I'm just calling to proclaim my interest and my admiration for this subgenius idea that's going about.
Have you heard it much?
Yeah, I've heard a bit of it. Read a little bit here and there, and I find it quite intriguing. However...
Okay.
May I say?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, we're going to get some another level of talk here.
Oh, certainly.
I'm going okay to another level you're shifting to. Okay. However,
I notice a lot of talk, and this is great, this is fine, just leaning towards all this political intrigue, this and that.
Yeah.
And big business, and whatever happened to the outrageousness, the folly, the ridicularity, the latent, freaky, idiotic, sexual, ranting, where is that all going? This is all political intrigue, I hear.
Yeah, did we do that before? Did we do some ranting earlier?
I don't know. I heard
you never
it.
Heard it.
No, I know. Should it not be part of the scene? Should it not? Is that not what this is all about?
That's a good question, Kent. Should we be ranting more? Well,
what happened to the mania? Where is it gone? Was it ever there?
We had mania once, but it got boring, so we went sober and offered the opportunity to listeners to be maniac. But they take my stuff pretty seriously, so they don't...
I understand all the political intrigue, and that's very important.
But the political intrigue is just one part of it. We do media ecology here. Do you know about that?
No.
That's a serious platform we got
ignorant.
Going.
I'm ignorant as hell. But then again, ignorance can often be wisdom, can it not?
Yeah, we basically that's our approach is using ignorance for discovery. That's the mania. That's like the hidden agenda is to use ignorance for discovery. But we don't make the mania blatant because it gets like a one note joke, right?
Yes.
So the mania is in the preposterousness of this whole show and how the fact that I do run the solar government and things like that. That. You can hear that in Toronto, that fact, and nobody would believe it. That is a ridiculous situation where I'm trying to prove something that's real, but people don't believe it, so they...
The true subgenius does see. He sees, does he not? Does he not just see how...
Are you quoting Joseph Conrad? My whole aim is to make you see,
at
the italics.
You're born with it. The ability is there.
And what are we to see?
Converted.
What do we want to see?
You just want to see the conspiracy, or you just want to see things as they are, and to know that all else but yourself and all the bullshit that you...
Well, the seeing is, and what we are is what we champion here. We call it living in the interval because we are neither here nor not here. right? We are in between. That's the way the human situation is, and that's the meaning of the Catholic-Christian cross, right? The intersection of the two or three or eight or 22 worlds, and you're in between them. That creates the laughter and the tragedy at the same time. You know what I mean? Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, we get stuck in the middle here.
The laughter and the tragedy.
Yeah, because all the rest of creation, above us the angels, and below us the animals and the plants and the minerals, you know, and the atoms, they live, what should we call, one-dimensional lives. They may have many variety of faculties. Oh, we just got some mail here. Where was that put? What?
Oh, I was looking
for
some stuff. It was in.
Maybe this is what the Tim guy. We'll have to go to. Good, Tim, if you're listening, we're going to probably deal with your mail. Or something just arrived.
Okay.
Oh, there's no stamps. But, caller, yeah, dealing with this point that the animals and the other life forms, higher or lower than us, have a variety of, say, abilities, all right, and a variety of perception. None of them is aware of being in the interval, which is the human dimension.
Can I say hi to Charlie? Just want to say hi to a buddy I know of mine. His name's Charlie.
Great, he's probably listening.
I hope he is. He darn well should be if he has half a bit of gumption about him.
Yeah, yeah. But see, here I'm trying to tell you a profound fact, and this is the absurdity of it. You start talking to your buddies through the radio.
I'm not talking. I'm tape recording this. I can go back and study it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but try to pay to see. I would say this is my latest beef is that everybody's taping so much they don't dialogue in the present with me.
Oh, I'm listening. I am listening.
Okay. Let's try to say something here. Let's really try to. The fact that we're in. You see, we don't need a lot of mania to contemplate this situation because we got station image. That's going to be the background that Kent's going to use now. But 1978. He wants me to tell you these credits. But look at how we are ambiguous. We can claim anything. We can be the most evil, and we fail at that. We can be the most